I talked to the Associate Dean for Humanities and Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion for CLES, Kathy Schlund-Viles. She's also the Interim Director of the Women's Gender and Sexuality Studies Program and a Professor of English and Asian American Studies. Schlund-Viles, whose research interests include 20th century U.S. literature, multi-ethnic literature, nationalism, trauma, human rights, and immigrant refugee narratives, says she came to her profession kind of by accident. While she was an undergrad at the University of Texas at Austin, she worked taking customer complaints for a, what she calls, terrible pizza chain, and heard about 200 complaints a night, which she says taught her something about the human condition and got her thinking about going to graduate school. A first-generation college student, she had no idea how to approach the school search and applied to four schools that had been in recent NCAA basketball Final Fours. Schlund-Viles chose UMass Amherst, and while pursuing her degree, she saw a future in her part-time job as a bouncer, bartender, and barback in Northampton, Mass., and she said she wasn't very committed to academia. Thankfully for us, that changed somewhere along the way. We talked about her popular Asian American literature class, the personal nature of her work, and her struggle to make sure people like her parents can understand her research, which includes current projects titled Prosthetic Ecologies, Disability, Environment, and Human Rights, and Militarized Excess. You are very prolific, and you have a broad range of specialties. So how did you go from, you know, kind of, you're in grad school, you're like, I'm going to work this bar forever, and now you're this, you know, you've published all these different things.
Oh, my gosh. Well, that's a good question. I think that, like, if one were to look at me in graduate school and my CV and then look at it now, it's like two very different people. When I was in graduate school, I started out as a Victorian literature person.
Okay.
So I was a British lit person, and it was just really alienating. I was pretty ambivalent. And I took a course with a professor who would be my mentor in ethnic American literature, and it was the first time I saw people like me, women of color, mm-hmm. in a text, and so I pursued that. But when I was going through graduate school, I really liked the teaching. But I hadn't really found a way to get at the research. And it wasn't until I had gotten my first job in Erie, Pennsylvania, that things started clicking with regard to Cambodian American stuff. Actually, like, that project started out through hip hop, because I like hip hop. I'm the least hip hop person, but I like it. And the project grew from that. I interviewed Cambodian American rappers, hip hop artists. So that actually guided what I was going to do. But one of the struggles that I have is this disconnect between my research and the rest of who I am. With regard to my research, it's all quite personal. Mm. So it's, you know, it comes from an experience of having first-generation immigrant parents and also having parents who are working class. So I try to, you know, kind of do them right and pay homage through my research. People say all the time, oh, you're so prolific, and I don't feel that way.
This Asian American literature class you teach is very popular. It was featured in the magazine as a coveted class, which is like these cool classes that we have here. What are the goals of that class? What do you hope the students get out of it?
Well, I think that, you know, and I'm lucky to teach this course, right? Like, you know, I don't take that for granted. My first job was in Erie, Pennsylvania. And I mean, I loved my colleagues and the students were awesome, but I think I was one of two Asian Americans in Erie.
In the whole city.
And I, which is cool, you know, like, it was great. In terms of, like, what I want people to get out of the course is that, you know, I think that there are three things. One, I really want people to see that Asian American literature, and I've stressed this before, is U.S. literature. So even though it has this designation that is, quote, ethnic, you know, in scope, it's actually mainstream, right? Like, so the struggles, the challenges, the themes, they are relevant to people regardless of if they're Asian American or not. So that's one goal. The more important goal, I think, is to actually work with students so that they can develop an engagement that reflects their interests, right? So the course is a gen ed. Not everybody's an English major, nor would I wish that on people. You know, I've got people who are in education, people who are in journalism. And so, you know, kind of the task before me is to make that relevant to them. You know, if you're pursuing education, maybe secondary education, for a final project, you do a lesson plan and you outline that. Or if you're, you know, a journalism major, maybe you want to write a story about UConn, about the Japanese American students, or interview people. And the third thing is that a course like this allows me to actually talk to students in a way that nobody ever talked to me. My largest class was 550 at UT Austin, so that was the average class.
Wow.
My smallest was 75. So I never really got to know professors, and I find that for the amount of money people pay to come here, you deserve the advising, you deserve the mentoring. The happiest I am is when I see somebody actually do things I never envisioned. One of the things that is really striking when I'm teaching is that there's a way in which a lot of students think that they are not historical subjects. And part of the goal is to actually have students see not only do their experiences matter, but their family histories matter. So I think that that is something that I try to model. That was something that was not accessible to me when I was an undergraduate. So I had a pretty traditional degree plan. I was pursuing Victorian literature in part because there were no faculty of color. Right? There was nobody teaching Asian American literature, so I never even thought that was a possibility. So I think that just kind of understanding what brought me into being is very self-absorbed, and that's actually what's guided me. All of us, I think, have family members who don't tell you the full story. So my job is to kind of fill in the gaps. And what I found is that even though people might think they lead ordinary existences, oftentimes they are kind of part of an extraordinary story.
You have all these different kind of deep dives into very specific phenomena or concepts. And how do those deep dives into specific pieces of history help us understand our world?
I will say that, you know, my teaching persona is very different from my research persona, which is sad. Because I think that my father said it best. It, you know, like my writing, academic writing, is like reading stereo hookup instructions because it's so jargony. And that's actually a struggle I am dealing with. So my father, who I'm very close to, he was a career Air Force person. He was in the military for 30 years. His job was to load munitions onto planes that then flew over Southeast Asia, right? So, you know, in some ways, like, because I'm Southeast Asian American, Cambodian American, born at the end of the Vietnam War, my father was very intimately tied to that conflict. And so the project that I'm looking at, I call it prosthetic ecologies because it sounded amazingly obtuse. But what I'm looking at is just like kind of the legacy of violence in that area, whether it be Agent Orange exposure, amputees in Laos because of unexploded ordnance. These are things that I have considered from an academic standpoint, but then from a personal standpoint, I have a lot of health issues. I actually have early onset osteoporosis, I'm disabled, and this was not something that I thought would happen when I was in my mid-40s. And the more work I do, like, the more I'm realizing that people in my generation who live near Air Force bases or who were, like, products of war, oftentimes have higher rates of cancer, brittle bones, etc. So there's a very personal reason why I'm pursuing this. And I've talked about this before, but my adoptive mother, who's Japanese, she lived 20 miles outside of Nagasaki when the bomb was dropped. She was 11 years old. And none of the women in her family could have children. And that's one of the reasons why she and my father, who's an American, as I mentioned, sought to adopt. And it's those legacies that actually matter. And this is not just about war. I mean, I think that you could look at environmental degradation in the United States and map that. So that's what I'm struggling with, is to kind of bring this all together so that it doesn't seem like a boutique, you know, like very esoteric project. The other project is on military culture and comics and video games. So I like to play video games. I love reading comics. And one of the things that really struck me is that most of the scholarship about war, particularly U.S. war, spends a lot of time on the spectacular, right? Like, so it's about the huge bombings, etc. But for military personnel, it's really about the mundane. So I'm trying to consider the mundane and, like, the everyday in this project. And that's a project that's very much linked to my father because he was a career military person. But one of the struggles I have with both, because they're, you know, connected to my parents, is that I write things that they can't understand. And this is something that Viet Nguyen talks about. The reason why he turned to fiction and literature, he won the Pulitzer in 2016, is that he could no longer communicate with his mom. And his mom was having some profound memory issues. And that's actually something that I've been dealing with my father, who, as a military person, was so precise with language. And he is struggling a lot with basic language. He's incapable of remembering. And so there's an urgency. It happens all the time, but I never really thought that would impact me. So the project has to now, both of them have to take different forms. I don't know if I'm going to do the project the way I envisioned it. It's not going to be like other works, because I think that, you know, not that my parents can read my work, but I would like to have it so that they could see themselves in it,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to being absolutely removed. And that's like kind of the academic impulse, is to be objective. And for the humanities, it's a big problem. You know, the question that you asked about, like, what you want students to get out of the class, is actually the question that should guide our research, as opposed to what I've spent a lot of time doing, which is keeping them very distinct.
That was great. And I just want to say that I've worked with Kathy in her capacity as the person in charge of the UConn Reads program.
She does a lot of things here.
She's great. Really like Kathy.
She told me that she still hopes to open a bar one day. So that dream has not gone anywhere.